This is a second part. Let me review the first part. I talked about, last time I spoke, last week was Evan, but I talked about what I saw going on prophetically in 2025. And then we really didn't get into 2026 much. So I'm going to review what I did with 2025, a little bit of what I did with 2026, because there's always a different crowd every time, and different people. There are some of you that are very faithful to come, like me. I always show up. And some of you come when you don't have to. And but I want to speak into it and finish this off tonight, because I want to, when I come back in 2 weeks, I want to pick up a little bit different series. And so, from 2 weeks ago, 2025 was one of the hardest years I've seen across the body of Christ. Now, when I'm speaking, I'm not speaking about Craig personally, although it was a very hard year. I fit into this one. But in my role as pastor here, just seeing as the group, there was Nate Johnston, who's a prophet that I read his writings. He's out of Australia, now in Southern California. As I said 2 weeks ago, he said 2025 was the year of death. It's probably a little blunt, but I tend to agree with it. I would probably say it this way. It was a year of releasing, pruning, and realigning at a level I've never seen before. And the death was, not all of the death was the devil. Some of the death was God, a lot of it. Now, whatever God's doing, the devil will imitate it. And so he did. He tries to bring his own death. But most of it was God. Us in the charismatic movement, anything that doesn't make us happy, anything that's not always up, not always faith by the definition of what is typically used, we call it the devil. I'm 65. I've been following God since I was 13, the best I know how. So we're talking over 50 years. And this is what I found. There is the enemy. I believe in deliverance. I believe in spiritual warfare. We do all of that. But there's a lot of things that happen God is doing in us that is not the devil. And he calls it pruning. He calls it correction, so that we can produce more fruit. And so I really believe 2025, some of these things I was like, God, what are you doing? This isn't fun. This isn't how you've been doing it. It hurts. Some of it's physical things, like, you know, break off this relationship, stop this habit, stop this routine. Some of it's emotional with soul ties. That isn't the devil. That's God chopping off branches on our tree so that we can produce more fruit. He says, if you're a son, I correct you. And so if that's not going on, you have to wonder, what is going on? You know, why isn't he doing this? But there was more pruning and a bigger level in 2025 than I've ever seen. I've got some, you know, as I've said many times, people's learned to know my bushes. I've got 32 bushes out in the front of my house, and I've finally got them to the place now. I just go around and sort of chop off some minor leaves around it. That's minor pruning. But when I took over it, there were some things that were big. I had to get the chainsaw, because the shears and the clippers would not cut it. And literally, I chopped all the branches in half and took a chainsaw to get there. It took months to get these things halfway around again. I really feel that picture is what happened to us in 2025, or at least it was with me. Does this speak to any of you guys? And it's not a bad thing. He's positioning us for more fruit. And so, so I believe this year, which I really think started last fall, I don't always think everything starts on the Jewish year, but I think it did on this one, which, as you know, is Rosh Hashanah. You know, we're starting a Gregorian calendar, the non-Jewish calendar this month. Sometimes he gives me stuff on that calendar. Sometimes he gives me stuff on April. I don't look for that kind of stuff. Some people, he really moves that way, and he moves on the feast. For me, it's never been that way, but I do see patterns sometimes. But I do think last fall, he started bringing new hope and new life coming. But now this is the qualification for it. In our stream, in our tribe, okay, I'm just going to be blunt with you because we're wanting to be mature, right? I've been in the charismatic movement for 40 years, 50 years as a Christian. Before that, I was didn't believe in the gifts. And every year for 40 years, the revival's coming. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And it's going to happen this year. Huh? So I believe that, but this big revival hasn't come in 40 years. I do believe it's closer, and I do believe it's coming. Why do I say this? I believe we don't need to wait for some big event. We just need to walk closely with the Lord in the obedience of what He's showing us now. And He'll start bringing new life, new fruit around us. And if the big event comes, great. It's out of my sovereign hands. It's in His sovereign hands. If you look at my life now, and I'm sure you got similar stories, compared to where I was 40 years ago, I'm much closer to the Lord. I hear His voice much better. I see more prophetic words and more salvation. So He's moving. And so why do I say this? So much of what I'm reading, because I'm a big reader and sort of a Christian news junkie and a regular news junkie, I'm talking about this is the year for the big breakout. I hope it happens. But I'm going to keep moving, and I'm not living for that, because that's where you set up false expectations and you get discouraged and you get depressed. But I am looking to have more influence over my neighbors. I am looking to see salvations even from my individual hands. And I think we're going to see more life, whatever our calling is. It's not all in the areas I just said. We're going to see more life this year than last for those that have paid the price and didn't quit, that didn't give up. You're here. Is that me, you ask? Yes, because you're here. There's a lot of people I know, unfortunately a lot. I don't even know a number. They're not here. Because of the prunings, they go, is there even a God? There's a lot of that. They call it deconstruction, which is in the Baptist world I grew up, that was called backsliding. It's the same thing. Deconstruction sounds a little bit more intellectual. It's just backsliding. And so I've seen a lot of that. And so we keep praying for those people. But you're not those people. You're still here. You're still in this room. You may have emotions that are frayed. I can identify with that. But I'm telling you, this year, we're going to see some things start growing on these branches that were cut off, the heavy pruning and the light pruning that we didn't see last year, because that's just the way He works. He goes in seasons. It's not always spring. It's not always summer, and it's His seasons aren't on 3-month patterns. It could be however. Most of last year was a winter. Would y'all agree with that? But that means there's even going to be a bigger spring. Now, it's going to vary for each person. Let me just real quick review from last week, and then we're going to talk a little bit about how we go forward. Trying to find the verse. I'm just Matthew 2:22. This is another verse that I think charismatics just have it wrong at a certain level, but it's one we quote all the time. Mark, and why are you talking about charismatics? Because I am one, so I can judge charismatics because I am one, right? I'm not a Methodist, I'm not a Presbyterian, whatever. Mark 2, and it's not for judgment; it's for growth. For maturity. Mark 2:22, and no one puts new wine into old wineskins, for the wine would burst the wineskins. I think everybody's familiar with those verses. And the wine and the skins would both be lost. New wine calls for new wineskins. Now my mountain, as we say, my area to take the kingdom for is the church world. It's one of the seven pictures on the left as you go out. And so I'm always reading about that. In the church world, we're always looking for the next form, the next function, the next silver bullet, the next whatever. that's going to bring in all the masses. That's what the talk is all along. And I did that for a long time. Then I just realized, what does it say here? New wine calls for new wineskins, plural. There is not one new wineskin. There's a new wineskin for each of you in this room. And that wineskin is going to hold wine that is for you in your calling, in your area of ministry, in business or family or politics. And the wine represents the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in you is going to fill you up more and form a wineskin around you where He wants you to pour out on your area of influence. Will He give a new wine to churches? I think so. But I think each church is going to look different. This cookie cutter franchise model means we're copying what man is doing and what that man, and that copy that we are looking at. The Holy Spirit might have told them that's what they're supposed to do. But when we copy, that means we're not listening to Holy Spirit anymore. We're copying our definition of what we think is successful. And we have to do that personally. As you look at your neighbors, as you look at people, go, that looks successful. It's okay to go and talk to them, say, what are your core values? What is important to you? Because core values are common. But to duplicate it exactly means you're letting them lead instead of the Holy Spirit lead inside of you. Now, this is the problem in the church world, and it's the problem personally. It takes guts to be a new wineskin, to do something different. You know, I'm not going to get into details. You can go talk to her just because of time. But what Dahlia is doing is there a new wineskin for her. Getting that further education. And it's a little radical in her field, isn't it? And so, every one of you has got a story, and it takes guts to go and do that. It takes guts as a church to be different. It takes guts. I remember years ago when we started doing something as simple as put tables out. People were like, well, I've never been in a church with tables. Well, that's so inconsequential. But even that, well, that's fine. This wineskin has tables so that you can take notes because I'm a teacher and it's easier to take notes on it and to form community. Every one of you, so with the new wineskin, which is what we want, you have to have courage to step out and do that. And this year, I think it's probably already started for most of you, but if it haven't, this year the Lord's going to bring up opportunities, bring up things where you're going to go, what? I've never seen that before. And He goes, yeah, you're right, because it's new. If you want something that you've seen before, do the old wineskin. Now, the old wineskin's okay. He said it's good wine. It is good wine. But if you're associated here with us and other places like us, He's wanting to expand into the kingdom, into new wineskins. And I'm doing new wineskins. It's not going to be literal wine, but it's going to be the Holy Spirit forming some new structure around a plan, around family, around wherever you're called to. Got that? And so we're looking for new wineskins in each of you. So I want to hear, how many people's in there? I don't know, 30, 35 people. I want to hear stories this year of, oh my gosh, Landon, where did you come up with that idea? And my natural is like, I've never seen it before, but if I pause and listen, that's a pretty cool idea. With Shana, with Joel, the Johnsons, whoever. That's how His kingdom is expanded and He gets glory. So, He's building something different. Let's talk. So I want to make a shift. 2025 was very, very hard. And the Lord's doing this in me. And so I'm not there yet, but I'm getting there. I'm preaching it. My heart is turning. There was a word this last week from this Nate Johnston guy again that I don't know why he's... One, when I read his stuff, ministers to me a lot lately. You just go where you see the Holy Spirit and you pay attention to who He's talking through because it's not always just you directly. And so this is key, I think, for us as we go into 2020, whatever this year is, six. Because there was releasing and realigning in 2025. And then, this is my word, I really believe we're going to see some resurrection in 2026 of these seeds. You put a tree seed in the ground, it doesn't become a full-grown oak by the end of the year. We're not, maybe some of us, we're all in different cycles, but we're going to see that oak come up out of the ground this year. And in 20, 30 years from now, it's going to be an oak, and people's going to go, how did you get here? Well, it wasn't overnight. I died, and he resurrected it, and I kept watering it. Now, here's the word from Nate Johnson, I think. And so this is cool. I'm being positive. We're going to see some life and some buds come up this year. 2026 was the year of death. I call 2020, I'm 2025. I call last year's year of death. I believe this year is going to be the year of life. And it's going to be little buds. It's not going to be like we're going to get a forest overnight. But it's going to be because he's building something for the long term. We've got these, I don't even know what they are. What's the flowers by my front porch? Oh, those lilies. Susan planted them. They're perennials. Anyway, there's these lilies. There's these lilies. Can you tell I'm a gardener? You can. These lilies come up, the perennials by the porch. I mean, right now they're dead. I mean, you don't even see anything. But by April, they're going to be over everywhere. Purple, pink, like instantaneous. And there'll be some of that. But I'm telling you, some of what he's doing in here with us, he's been pruning the big branches, not the lily branches, because he's planting something that's going to be for the rest of our lives. It's not just some little thing. He's realigning us for the rest of our lives. Nate Johnston did this on January the 5th. And I hear the Lord saying over many of you, you've been playing the dirge. This is from the Bible. Probably could have just looked up that verse. The funeral song for too long. I fit that bill. Oh, I can't believe this is happening. What are you doing? What's going to happen next? Do I deserve this? Why did this happen? That's not even the questions. We ask questions he's not answering. Why doesn't he answer our questions? Because that's not what he's asking. He's doing something. He's trying to. He's like, Craig, I'm trying to get an oak out of you. So shut up and stop your whining and let's move on. And I hear the Lord saying over many of you, you've been playing the dirge, the funeral song for too long. Now it's time to play the wedding song. That's a good word. At least it was for me. Because this is a new hour and I'm declaring victory over you. And so today we remember 2025. It doesn't go away. But where there's been heartache, where there's been betrayal, where there's been brokenness, because some of it, not all of it, was God. But a lot of it was. We're going to say, we're going to see a wedding this year. And it's not the marriage supper of the Lamb, but we're going to see growth this year. That'd be awesome if he did come. But that's sovereignly out of our hands too. And we're going to see this start coming up. So I want to give you hope over that. Four things going forward. How much time we got? Oh, we're doing good. So I'm just going to tell you, we can come back January next year and see if this was true or not. I am not a prophet, but I do try to stay close to the Lord and hear what he's saying for as a pastor of us. So four things as we go forward in 2026. And this is going to be obvious after I say it. We're going to have to be flexible. We're going to have to continue to be flexible. We've been flexible. We wouldn't be here. We're going to have to continue to change. And I know we've been doing that, or we wouldn't be here. We've all been very flexible. But that's not going to stop this year. Until that oak gets big and heavily settled in the ground. The oak is our vision. The oak is what he's called us to. The oak is the believing for our family. Whatever it is, whatever your mountain is, one of the seven mountains, we're going to have to be flexible. We're going to have to be willing to be spontaneous. Why can't he tell us ahead of time? You know, I'm trained as an engineer. I grew up in the church growth movement until I got out of that. They have 5-year plans, 10-year plans. You know what I'm talking about? They tell you to do that in companies. I tried that, and it just never worked. God, he was like, that's cute, but you wait till you see what I've got for you. There is nothing I'm doing in the church, in my own life, in my software that I could have ever planned out. But it's actually better. And even if it's not better, that's what he wanted to do. And so we're going to continue to be flexible all through the year. Go, well, I thought he said this in January. Now it's July and he's changing his mind. Guess what? He's God. He can change his mind. There's a reason for it. We may not see it till we get to heaven. But we're going to be flexible, or else we turn into old wineskins, which is not bad. It says even the old wine's good, but that's not our calling. Our calling is to have rich, bubbly, acidic red wine. Secondly, so first one's flexibility. Secondly, patience is going to be a big deal this year. It's been a big deal in 2025, and it's not going to stop. A lot of this is just a continuation of 2025. Patience. Now, in the late 80s, early 90s, when I was assistant pastor over in Augusta, Georgia, the Word of Faith movement was big. I learned a lot from it. I'm not cutting down the Word of Faith. But here's a verse that was a keystone of it. Hebrews 6:12. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. I can't tell you how many hundreds of times I heard that verse preached. And it is a good verse. I'm not putting that down, except for this part. But to imitate those who through faith, what's the next two words? And patience. I don't think I ever heard one sermon on patience. It's just faith. And I needed that. And I still need that. But it takes faith and patience, not just faith. I'm not trying to be heretical here against the Word of Faith movement, because I believe in all that. But it says, through faith and patience, you inherit what has been promised. I think 2025, a lot of us, we had our eyes on the right target, going in the right direction. We had faith, but we didn't see anything come up because he was developing patience in us. Why is he developing patience? Who knows? I'm not God. This is my theory. Sometimes the alignment, sometimes to get your promises, they can't come now because circumstances have to be arranged for them to happen. And then sometimes he has to delay the promises because our character is not where it should be. Now, I think at any one moment in my life, I have all that I need and I'm mature, a man of power and hour. And I probably do for that moment. Think of Joseph at 17. He gets this grand vision of his fathers and mothers bowing down to him, and he's all powerful. I'm sure at that moment he thought he was ready. But it was 30 before he became the Pharaoh's right-hand man. And we see a whole different humility level there. He didn't even know what he saw besides the vision at 17. He had no idea, I'm going to be the right-hand man of the most powerful empire on the earth. And we all have a picture of where the Lord's taking us, but it's probably the size of a mustard seed. Well, hold on to the mustard seed. It grows into a big tree. But honestly, when I was 18 years old and the Lord spoke to me, I didn't even believe he could speak this way, but he did. And I was still so stubborn, I didn't change my theology. I could hear it clearly. He said, you're going to be a church planter, not a pastor. I mean, obviously that's inherent. But it's different when you're planting a church. And so I was like, what? I didn't even know you could be a church planter. I thought you just grew up, went to seminary, and took over a church somewhere. At 18, I didn't believe in the gifts. My theology was very different. I didn't have any skills to think that at 34, I can't believe it's been that long, I would start a charismatic church in a whole other city that I didn't want to go to. It's not that long between 18 and 34. I mean, it seems like it to you guys over here, 16 years, that's twice your age, but you get the point. And so whatever you're holding on to, hold on to it. But you have no idea really how much better it's going to be in 4, 5, 6 years or 16 years. And he's getting your character ready for that. I was thinking of a story Rick Joyner told several years ago. It's so true on patience. He has trances where he's called up into heaven. And the Lord showed him, he was like 65 when he saw this. I don't remember, but he was older. And so he's 75 now, I think. And so he said, the Lord said, you would be much further along, and I'm keeping you alive longer, because it's taking you so long to get to where I want you to be. And he, of course, he goes, what's the problem? He says, you are very impatient. He said, I can't tell you how many times I have brought people by, circumstances by, and you just were in a hurry. And he didn't slow down and recognize I was talking through these things. And he said, you've probably gotten 10%. This Rick actually said this, not the father. He said, I've probably gotten 10% of the divine encounters or opportunities or recognized them that I should have, because I was in such a hurry to work for the Lord. Now, I don't know how you work that out on an individual level, but to realize patience when things aren't happening at our speed and we're walking in faith, all we can do is just trust the Lord and be patient. But He will bring it about. And if we don't, and if we try to hurry it up, we're going to create the whole Arab versus Jew debacle that's all over the earth. What are you talking about, Craig? He had Ishmael because he got in a hurry. And Ishmael is Arabs, Jews is Isaac. And he loves them. We want to wait on God's timing and be in His patience, because it's a pain cleaning up messes. I have cleaned up so many messes. And I'm like, Lord, let me learn. And I think the key is to be patient and say, Lord, what are you doing? What are you not doing? And then what should I do? It's good. Write that down. Because delay is not always demonic. Delay could be getting the circumstances right. Delay could be getting our character right. And so, be flexible. I need to speed up. Be patient. And we've been flexible. Keep doing what you're doing, but I'm telling you, it's working. Life is coming up. Buds are coming up. Be patient. I wrote this down. God is the one who accelerates, and sometimes He pauses. God orders our steps, the Bible says, but He also orders our stops. You apply it to your own. Third, and I need to speed up. And this comes along with patience. This year, don't be in such a hurry for life to change. Now, let me talk about that a little bit. We know fruit's coming up. We know things are happening. We know we're going to have to be flexible. We know we're going to have to be patient. And maybe this is just me, because I'm a goal-oriented type A type personality. I don't like sitting. I think God... How can I shorten this? At least Craig is always living in the future. How many of us actually live in the present moment and enjoy God in this moment? I find myself, well, what's going to happen tomorrow? I can't wait for tomorrow, or next week, or week after that. And then a thought dawned on me, because I'm getting older, these thoughts start dawning on you. At this rate, I'm going to be on my deathbed waiting for things to happen, never enjoying life that He has given me now. But it's too late. I'm about to die. That's a little morbid. What I want to is on my deathbed, look at all the moments I slowed down. I enjoyed the Father. I wanted things to happen. But if they didn't happen, it's okay. Is God big enough in us for the moment? People tend to live always in the future, or they tend to live always in the past. Those are the ones with great wounds and hurts and trauma. And the Lord wants to heal the past. He wants to give us a view for the future. But as the Scripture says, we just have today. And so He's more and more doing, just relax. It's okay. Enjoy today. And I think relax is a big word for 2026. The Lord's going to bring the life when He brings the life. And we'll know. Here's another phrase I wrote down. You may have to think about it. Don't just do something, sit there. It's an oxymoron. Or write it down. Don't just do something. Don't just do something, Craig. Just sit there. And He's starting to show me, like the Rick Joyner story, more is happening in the moment than I realize. Because I'm waiting for the big bang. I'm waiting for the fireworks. I'm waiting for this. And He's going, you know, maybe I'm just in the sunset. Or maybe I'm just in the person you're talking to across the way. Enjoy it. So we need to learn to rest. That was the fourth thing. This is so, I've talked about so much over the last 3 years. It's hard to put into words. Rest does not mean inactivity. Rest means I'm not driven by my activity. Rest means I'm not trying to get my hope and my identity and my future from my activity. Rest means I'm walking and staying close, like the sign says in the lobby, live close. It means stay close to the Father. Enjoy Him. And activities happen. But then I'm doing it with Him. We're going to see more fruit this year in less work than we have in the past. Because we're doing it with Him.